And we are live. Hey, y'all. How y'all doing today? It's me, Candace, and it's...
Oh, this ray of sunshine.
And so welcome to the Soul Sisters podcast. So on today, we're going to talk about colorism. Okay. I got my handy dandy book here, The Willie Lynch Letter and the Making of a Slave, okay? Because Willie Lynch was just like a devil or something. And he had these whole little guidelines. And in a lot of ways, do you think he still controls us?
Of course. You know, they say divide and conquer, and that is exactly, he wrote the blueprint for how to divide and conquer the
area. Literally. So I don't even remember how all this started, but the thing that I had sent Ray the last time we recorded, I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all what it was. So it was basically like saying that mulatto is a negative term, as well as it has this whole breakdown of everything else. So if you're black and white, you're mulatto. If you're mulatto and white, you're musty. If you are mulatto and black, you're a mongrel.
I've heard some people use that derogatory term before.
Yeah, super derogatory. But look, check this. If you're a musty and white, you fusty.
Fusty.
And if you're a fusty and white, you are dusty. Okay.
Dusty.
Does this even sound... So this came from a book that was written in 1991, by the way. Gradations removed from a pure black lineage. Cool.
That's really... It sounds like this piggybacking off of the one drop rule.
Mm-hmm. If you got one drop of black, then you black. Mm-hmm. And then, so to pull in my nemesis, Willie Lynch, okay. Let me see. I'm real booky today, y'all. I'm sorry. So he says, I have outlined a number of differences among the slaves, and I take these differences and make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes. All right. Take this simple list of differences and think about them. On the top of my list is age, but it is there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There's intelligence, size, sex, status on the plantation, attitude of owners, whether the slaves live on the valley, blah, blah, blah. Moving on. Color. So... you must use the dark-skinned slaves versus the light-skinned slaves and the light-skinned slaves versus dark-skinned slaves. You must also have your white servants and black overseers distrust all blacks, but it's necessary that your slaves trust and depend on us. So basically, they're going to put us together versus color and be our white savior.
Yep.
Which is why I have an issue of movies like The Help. Girl, I'm going to spiral today. Movies like The Help.
Yes.
Hidden Figures. They have this random little white savior in there. And it's like, this didn't happen in real life. This is just for cinematic purposes. Side note, do you watch Grownish?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so there's an episode and Aaron is like the social political guy. And he finally got his big shot. And he just went on TV and ranted about his issue with every single thing in the world. And I feel like that's where I'm leading today.
Okay.
And I apologize in advance. but I love Black people. So, do you think that, like, there is ever going to be, like, a Black people who aren't, like, super colorist?
No. I see it today, even though we're working on the positive image of the darker complexion Black people, it's at a sickening turning point now where it used to be light versus dark, it's dark versus light now. And it's like, are we ever going to get to a point where we are on even grounds as far as support? Mm-hmm. I don't ever be there.
I think that social media and like movies and all this stuff kind of plays a part in it too, because not that I don't love Yara Shahidi and Zendaya and all of them, but they are spotlighted significantly more than darker skinned people. And like, even they know it because they talk out about it all the time, but then on the same note, they still got to get their coin. So it's like, they have the knowledge and they don't like it, but it's going to take, like, I don't know. I feel like movies like Queen and Slim help maybe, because
it's cool to see. Yeah, it's cool to sit back and you watch it, but if you don't live it and you can't relate to it, how are you supposed to help the cause? And I mean, I get where you're coming from, you know, with Yara Shahidi and Zendaya, but you have women like Angela Bassett and Viola Davis who've spoken out on the issues of colorism and them being underpaid actresses or whatnot and not receiving their full accolades in the industry. And it's like, okay, we acknowledge it, but then we put it on the back burner because, I mean, you know, you're older and you're darker. We, you know, that's cool. You're great. We love you, but take a back.
Because both Angela and Viola act they butts off.
Baby,
love way better than like anybody I know. They, boy, they did my girl a disservice from Waiting to Exhale. There is no way she should not have gotten like stupid awards off of that.
Everything those two touch, I don't care what it is,
it's gold.
It's gold. And it's crazy to me just to see how, like I said, looking from the outside, looking in, how they're treated. And then when you speak up against it because of the Willie Lynch letter, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be hard for them to trust that you actually have good intentions towards them because they're so used to people, you know, doing them dirty. And it's like, man.
Yeah. And I think that it's just like ingrained in Black people, unfortunately, that like you can't trust. I mean, I guess they feel like they can't trust lighter toned people and dark skinned people. And light skinned people sometimes don't trust darker toned people, but like me personally, I mean, your skin color ain't got nothing to do with your personality, because you can be some beautiful light skinned woman and be an asshole.
Yes.
Be some beautiful dark skinned woman and be an asshole. Like, your personality for me is what, like, I guess I go for. But then I'm also very observant. Like, when I first meet people, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to sit back and observe you and see if there's anything about your personality I like and if there's anything about your personality that I don't like.
Mm-hmm. I get that. Now, does the personality for you, does that make or break, I guess, you supporting that person as far as whatever colorist issues they have going on? Because I know I try to sympathize with everybody.
So I cannot like you and still wholeheartedly support your cause, because your personality has nothing to do with your cause. If it's a good cause, it's a good cause. It's just unfortunate that it's attached to an asshole. But I mean, I'm not ever going to be like, oh, well, I'm not going to support, give me a cause.
Oh, gee. Wrong person. I don't know. Domestic violence awareness.
Yeah, I'm not going to support domestic violence awareness because I don't like Jane Doe. Well, that makes me the butthole in the situation, because clearly I know that domestic violence isn't right, but because I don't like you, I'm not supporting you, which just brings it back to Willie Lynch. Because I don't like something about you, I'm not supporting your cause, or because I'm intimidated by you or whatever, whatever. When Black people should just support Black people, it should not matter all the other stuff. Because we're not going to like everybody that we meet. And that's just simple as that. But like,
I don't know. It's just going to be real hard to try and stabilize an entire community that's been ripped apart from centuries ago. Like,
so question. Things like people normalizing terms like mulatto, making her stage name mulatto, I guess in a way, is that her turning it into something positive? Do you think, or do you think it's just further ingrained in like the mess that's been ingrained in us?
Well, for one, I don't really think a whole bunch of people even know what the meaning behind Big Lotto.
That's true. Also,
so because we're dealing with a younger generation, and of course a lot of our history is not being taught, so they don't know. They have no idea that that's a derogatory term.
That's true. So I mean, I feel like even we can like try to get the awareness out. I have all these elaborate schemes on like Black people, but I don't have the resources to do it. Cause like at one point, you know, I was thinking when it came to like police brutality and changing laws and stuff, I wanted everyone from each city, state, whatever, to go look at their police officers' code of ethics and bill of rights and stuff like that. And there are ways that you can change this stuff, but you have to go specifically by whatever precinct you're in. So like my mind, I was going to have this elaborate scheme, and I was going to have pamphlets for every single precinct. Okay. And this is why my ideas never work, because I don't know how to bring it down. I'm go big or go home.
Okay.
So I was going to have like all these pamphlets and just, you know, serve them out to the Black communities of each of these precincts to say, this is how you get these laws changed. This is how you get this person out of office. This is how you change your sheriff and stuff like that. But I think it's focus. I think I didn't have like the focus to just bring it together.
A little guidance.
And I also had no guidance. This was like all off the top of my dome. But it would be cool to start it in Montgomery, since it's a city I'm fairly familiar with.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, a lot of people, they talk the talk, it sounds good, but there's no action.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many young Black activists I've come across social media wise, and it's like, okay, you're making the right noise, but what's the follow up?
Yeah.
It's like, it's all for attention. And then you have those that, I hate to say it, but they say, if you don't want somebody to know something, put it in black and white, and put it in a book, because they'll never read it. And sadly, that still stands to this day. Mm. So it's going to be hard because, like you were, I think your aim would have been like defunding the police.
Yeah. But I think that when people think defund the police, they're like, oh, take all the money from the police. Like,
it's not it.
It's literally just restructuring your police system into a way that actually serves your community and not just, you know, what it is now. But getting into that is just going to get into so much stuff because people don't take local politics seriously. People think that the only thing that's
important
is your presidential election, when really, I mean, you know, shout out to Biden and everything, but Biden isn't changing laws in the city that I live in.
Right.
So great. He's giving me a stimulus check and he better cancel my student loans. But other than that, it's the local politics. Like, it's just like strategic, jaded, and very, I'm going to say it, discriminatory laws that we have in effect. Even like talking about, I was telling you about the Mississippi bill. Mississippi is trying to pass a bill that you have to, I'm going to read you exactly what it is.
Oh, about the stealing of the pecans.
About the pecans.
Pecans, pecans, however you want
it. Nothing else to do than to try to pass House Bill 284. It would seek harsher penalties for those caught stealing pecans. Nuts that fall from trees on private property or property of the tree owners. 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. Like, let's just talk about Jackson and the crime rate. And
that's where I was about to go. There's so many other things that could have been.
Girl, they had to implement a doggone curfew for minors because of the crime rate. And you worried about pecans. And it's not even pecan season. So, again, I told you, girl, I'm on a rant today.
But yeah, we as a community, we have to come together in order to make a change. But if we're constantly battling because we feel like dark is better than light, light is better than dark, I'm better than you, the social class, elitism, all this other nonsense, we're going to forever be stuck in a rut.
Yeah. And then so what I can see happening is, let's say we have this light-skinned woman who is like super into activism and stuff like that. And then people have a tendency to discredit your blackness when you're light-skinned, but just black people, not white people. Because like, I can't tell you how many times I have been asked what I'm mixed with.
Girl.
I am black and black.
Same.
And I mean, most of the time, it's not by other light-skinned people.
Girl.
So,
just to go off on the side, I've turned down quite a handful of young suitors because their entire aim was, you must be mixed.
Cause you like,
cause you light skin. I only date them light. I only like them to look this way or that way. You dismiss.
I would never want to feel like someone is only dating me because of my skin color. And you know, certain people chase certain looks for like procreation. So yep. I get it. You want your kids to be cute or whatever, but whoever,
if you ain't cute, you just ain't cute. It don't matter who you procreate with. Like,
because I'm going to be honest, when I was pregnant, like, I wanted a chocolate baby. I wanted her to be more Angelo's color than my color. And we succeeded in that. And I think she's beautiful.
I didn't put a lot of emphasis on what baby girl's complexion might be because I'm like the prime example of how genetics work as far as recessive genetics. because I'm lighter than both of my parents. So I was like, I mean, I don't know. Let's roll the dice and see what we get. But I did, you know, have quite a few conversations with select few people in regards to what my baby's complexion could be, because we all know her father is chocolate.
Yeah.
A beautiful chocolate. And I was like, you know, let's not do that.
I don't think anybody, like, nobody cared what she looked like. I had just always imagined having like these mocha kids because I just think it's a really pretty skin color. Like,
and you know, that may come from people constantly trying to invalidate your blackness.
Because I'm clear. But like, I'm just my dad reincarnated. You seen my dad. My dad is like super light skin.
Yeah, y'all transparent.
Huh?
Y'all transparent.
I'm like my dad reincarnated. And then it just was what it was. You know, I've always known I look just like my dad. And it's weird. I want to say it's a blessing, but it sounds weird when I say it, because one of my nieces, she was like really, really close. I think she's like 3 or 4. Don't give me the line. I don't know. But she really, really, really misses my dad. But like, her mom texted me and was like, hey, maybe you can FaceTime her because you look so much like your dad and that'll bring her some comfort. So that's why I say, like, it's a blessing. And then, you know, I can look in the mirror sometimes and I'll be like, I don't look like my daddy. It's okay. Because I also look incredibly like my mother. Like, the girl, certain pictures, I look just like my mama. So, I mean, it just is what it is.
You like a perfect love child, 50-50.
That's how Nia is, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's how genetics work.
So don't be out here making babies with people because you think they're going to come out.
Yeah, that's for sure. Because you know what? The thing about it is y'all out here trying to get these light-skinned kids. You make a baby with a light-skinned person thinking, oh, my baby going to be so light and your baby going to be as black as your grandma. Like,
That's not how it works.
Recessive genetics are a thing. You know what this makes me think about? Cosby Show, where they were like, how is it that they cast like this range of skin colors for their kids?
Oh, it's possible.
It couldn't possibly be their kids, but when you get into genetics, I mean, it could be.
Because I swear the only way people know that I belong to my parents, I have to show them like pictures, like, you know, from back in the day. Like, these are my people. My mom will tell you, when she birthed me, the anesthesiologist actually came back once everybody left out of the room and questioned her as far as the paternity of me, because they thought she was sexually assaulted by some random white man, because we down in the boroughs in Wilcox County. And they thought her baby daddy was some random white man that attacked her. And she like,
I mean, no. I appreciate the sentiment, because I guess they were just trying to check on the girl. There are ways.
My grandmama said the same thing. She was like, Lord, when I came out, I was so pale and I was so white. And she just remember like my dad trying to get to me to see me. And she was like, I really don't think you want to see that baby.
Like, so here's the thing.
Right. You know, two brown skinned people couldn't make this white baby.
Girl. Did you watch If Loving You Is Wrong? It's a Tyler Perry movie. I mean, it was a Tyler Perry show. It came on the Oprah Winfrey Network. My mama used to watch it.
I don't know.
the white woman was pregnant and she had a white husband. So then she gave birth to a black baby.
Lying.
So the baby came or whatever, and they like, oh, can I see the baby? Can I see the baby? And she's like, so what had happened was I cheated on my husband with my neighbor.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
And so, girl, I used to watch that with my grandma. It was the most wild and chaotic show, but she enjoyed it, so we watched it.
Just putting it out there, my mama did not cheat on my daddy.
We know. Oh, yeah, yeah. Her dad is her dad. Like, she's completely black. To look back in, we were talking about recessive genes. And so you take after a grandma, right?
Grandfather. His grandfather.
She takes after a light-skinned grandfather.
I want to say he was mixed. I'm not really sure.
Oh, wait. Was he a...
He was a mulatto.
Wait.
No, but... But we don't claim it because, you know, he spent so much time, I think, out in the sun or whatever. He tanned up nicely. He was
Wait. If he's a mulatto, I'm trying to figure out what that would make you. Let me look at.
I don't even know.
Well, that would make your dad. If your granddad is a mulatto, is your dad a mongrel?
No, because that would be my great granddad. Now, my grandmother. She's brown, like roasted pecan brown.
Oh, back on the pecans.
I'm trying to fix it. Because I think like majority of her and her siblings took after their mother. Their mother. Yeah. Was,
like my family.
I don't know what she was with.
Me in particular. I take after my grandma because my grandma is the one with the lighter skin, with the like most dominant genes, because we all look like Gloria.
Wow.
So, I mean.
So I guess with my dad's side of the family, it skipped generations then.
I skipped generations.
Yeah.
Like, let's say if your dad or mom had like green eyes or something, like our kids would be more likely to have them than we would.
No, you're right.
It's one of those. But I don't have those eyes, so I don't know the real statistic, but I know it's one of those colored eyes.
I was trying to do the math because I know out of my dad's kids, it's six of us. Two out of the six have like the hazel eyes, like my great grandfather.
Okay.
And then, like, every so often throughout the rest of the siblings, I want to say his brother next in line. So I guess that would be my oldest uncle.
Mm-hmm.
One out of the three of his kids.
Oh, has hazel eyes.
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, that's literally just how it be. It's really just the luck of the draw. And if I want to say, I'm not like a genetic expert or whatever, but whose genes are stronger in you and the person that you procreated with?
Right.
How does it match up? Like, if y'all both have dominant genes, then you'll get like a 50-50 kid. But like, your child's father has very dominant genes.
Yes, Lord.
So your
she looks just like him.
She's just the girl version with them little dimples. She's so cute. Like my sister's kids, her youngest looks just like his uncle's child. Like they look like they will be brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just how genes work. But like her oldest, he looked like us. He looks like my sister when she was a baby.
So folks better stop going around fetishizing.
Yeah, but I think that the reason why people fetish the reason why people have fetishes, okay, about looks and stuff like that,
right,
is because you're trying to achieve whatever optimal look that you think that you are. Because I mean, ideally, we want our kids to have better lives or better odds than we do. And Right. Fortunately so, Black people think that the better you are is like the more
European.
Whatever. Right. I was trying to avoid that word.
And then, you know, that hurt my heart. Because I remember when I was pregnant and I got the 3D ultrasound back. And I knew right then she was going to be the spin image of him. And I was super geeked because we had been fighting. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, she's so cute. She's going to be so adorable. Like, I think I like you again. Oh, my goodness. My baby. Oh, my gosh. And I remember his response. It was kind of like, oh, she looked like me. And I was like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with the way you look.
Like, I mean, clearly I was with you because I like the way you look.
Right. You would think that. And I was like, oh my gosh, look at the generations of the trauma that has been passed down. This baby don't even know how beautiful he is.
But I think one thing that we can do though is like from day one, instill in our children that they are so beautiful no matter what they look like. And maybe we can raise a generation that is much more accepting of colors.
And your African-American features, embrace that nose, embrace them lips, love those ears and that skin, that hair, you know. And it starts at home.
Yep. And then, you know, for us, when we were kids, you know, our parents wanted us to get perms. Did you get a perm when you was little?
Girl, heck yeah.
Yeah, you know, you had to get the perm to get the straight hair. And I think we're moving in the right direction. I don't think it's going to be like some instantaneous turn to get us to stop like all the colorism stuff. But I think that unfortunately, because we've had so much police brutality and so much just BS thrown at Black people, it has made us embrace ourselves more and love ourselves more. And then you got people like African ancestry who come through and tell you where you from. I'm from Cameroon.
I believe in the conspiracy theories. I still have not submitted my DNA. I don't want to.
Well, African ancestry does not store your DNA. African ancestry is owned, operated all by Black people.
Are you sure? I don't want positive. My stuff, you know, be on some CIA database.
Positive. Do you want to know why I'm positive? Because my lovely spouse is the one who put me on, and you know, conspiracy theory one. So like he wouldn't, girl, if you ever thought that he was going to submit his DNA somewhere where it was going to get tracked, you have lost your mind. So African ancestry, like, I stand, but like ancestry.com and stuff, they store your DNA. I don't know Henrietta Lacks. Do the people know who Henrietta Lacks is?
I really don't think so.
All right. So Henrietta Lacks, homegirl, was like this amazing woman. And so she had cervical cancer or ovarian cancer, one of the two. But when she went to the doctor for her treatments, they took some of her sick cells and some of her healthy cells without her knowledge. And they did all this research on her cells. So all you cancer treatment people, you are really building off the blocks of Henrietta Lacks, because her DNA and her herself, you know, she's the reason why they had all these cancer breakthroughs and stuff like that, because she had the optimal cells to get what they needed. Because shout out to Black people. And I think the family got compensation. Maybe the
how you gonna pay me and you
end of the 80s, 90s, I believe, but it was like a long time from when it happened that they were actually able to get the acknowledgement and the compensation that they needed for the fact that their mother is the one who, you know, gave
up. She was the lab rat.
Yeah, she's the blueprint. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to call her a lab rat.
That's what they use her as.
Plus to them. But she is the blueprint to cancer treatments. And like, I hate that they didn't have any consent when they took her stuff. But I'm also grateful that they took. So I have like this.
That's a catch 22.
Yeah, because without her, all these people with cancer would have.
Yeah, but you violated her.
But they should have compensated her.
Yeah.
They should have given her better medical treatment. They were so focused on trying to cultivate her cells that she died, I believe, around 40 something from cancer because she wasn't getting the treatments that she needed because y'all were so busy trying to keep her cells. So, you know, again, I think I'm just on a rant today.
Gosh, that reminded me of like how the studies of gynecology even came about. Them experimenting on black women.
Ooh, do you want to give us story time? I know the story, but you want to give it?
Go ahead. You on a rant. You on a roll today.
Okay, so if I am correct, the study of gynecology is because there was a white doctor who did experiments on the black woman's body. Am I correct?
Black enslaved women and use no type of anesthetics.
None at all. Just torture.
Yep.
And I think that the more we learn about what really happened to slaves, and it was just horrendous. Like, I think the thing that, like, I remember one day, I was so mad because they used to use slave hair to stuff chairs.
Yes.
You work and you own a cotton plantation. Mm-mm. And you want to humiliate me,
mm-hmm,
and shave my hair off my head to put in your chair? And mm-hmm, you gonna sit your ass on my hair? I was mad for like 2 weeks. And so, I just think it's important that we know our history, because knowing our history will also help us with like all these colorism stuff, because you will realize that like it's just a ploy that they put against us to divide us.
Right.
That's it. Like, it's not real.
It's still working.
And I hate that, because you know it's not real.
Mm-mm.
And we all have differences, but we should embrace our differences and not use them as reasons to treat other people wrong.
That sounds so beautiful.
It's the social worker in me. Like, I just want like equality and love and peace. And I want everybody to love each other, but that's too much. Like, right. I just try to be kind and like compassionate and caring and stuff, and like do my part and like uplift people and stuff like that. But you know, I'm just one person. So, but it's definitely the social worker in me. And also that, you know, I love black people.
Cause in my mind, I'm like, you know, reality, that's so far-fetched.
Yeah, it's super far-fetched. But again, you know, if we start raising this generation of kids with these qualities and, you know, teaching them about, I mean, I know that we're not all from Africa, because we don't, unless you do the extensive research, we don't know where we're from.
Right. We're just some mutts.
Basically. But like, I think that it's important for us to teach our kids about where we came from, or where we presume we came from, you know, and teach them to love all things Black and not be so, oh, these people aren't like us, so we don't have to be nice to them. Kind of thing. Because children are not born with all these biases. Children are taught these things. And there is a study about children and baby dolls. And there's a dark-skinned girl. And at the beginning of the study, she picks the dark-skinned girl. And then she comes back later after, you know, she's lived a couple of times. And she picks the white doll because the white doll is beautiful. And...
well, she was being taught that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think unconsciously sometimes people teach their kids that by like glorifying all things white.
Mm-hmm.
And, or maybe glorifying all things light skin, or maybe like, oh, you look so pretty when your hair is straight.
Yep. This is a wig and I wouldn't work out, you guys. So my hair looks
amazing. We know you locked up. It's okay.
This is a quick fix. I know, but okay. State my disclaimer.
We know you locked up. I mean, so I don't think there's anything wrong with switching up your style. Like sometimes I straighten my hair. Not always. My hair thick. And
I think that's a part of Black culture and I love it for our Black women because we are very versatile.
Girl, what I really want, I want me one of them slick ponytails, not like Gorilla Glue, but I want me like a slick ponytail with like, oh, I want the elaborate baby hairs, like woo.
And then maybe some baby hairs. Like Selena's.
Girl, I'm going to create the baby hairs. Like I'm going to take some grown man hairs and swirl them around and like, woo. You know, my forehead.
You'll have them touching your eyebrows.
Girl, I might as well, you know, my forehead clear enough. I might as well go ahead and cover it, okay? And then I'm going to have to pull one right here and just whoop, right there.
Okay, Selena's Elvis
Presley. Just for like 2 days, bruh. I just need the baby hairs for like 2 days. I don't even know why I want this. I saw on Instagram, this girl with this like five slick ponytail. And I was like, wow, I like this slick ponytail.
You have to do a mean silk press to get that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why, you know, it's just a like in my head kind of thing. Cause I don't think I really want to silk press my hair in order to get it. Like if I'm going to silk press my hair, it's going to be for, I don't know, a reason, not ponytail. So, baby, I'm trying to preserve. I know it don't look like much, you know, right now, but you know, I be trying to preserve my little curl pattern or whatever. This just a this like a week old job here, and so what happened was, I went to sleep last night, girl. I just woke up like this. Like Beyonce, hey, I woke up like this. Yes. So, let me fix it. Yeah. all right. So, clearly I am on a political rant today.
Yeah, because we're way off topic, so.
And again, I do apologize. I keep trying to bring it back into colorism and stuff like that. But really, I think that like a lot of our issues in the Black community just goes right back down to colorism.
Mm-hmm.
Because they perceive like darker skinned men as more aggressive than lighter skinned men. How, Sway? So, you know, trying to scan my book and see if there's anything else.
I just know I had a mad on last week because of old girl, Danny Lay.
I forgot all about that. So let's discuss.
Cancel culture. They canceled the hell out of her, and I'm glad.
So for the record, I never actually tried to go listen to the song because you were so mad about it. I didn't want to like give her my stream.
Oh, you weren't going to like it anyway.
Yeah, so I didn't even try. The only thing that I know, I was on the Breakfast Club or something, and they were saying something about, she was calling herself a yellow bone or something, and the Black community was like up in arms about it. But it's because she's not Black, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if she would have been a Black woman,
it still was going to be a problem?
Acted the same.
Yes, and this is why.
Okay.
You can have your preferences, you know. You may prefer to date brown-skinned people. I may prefer to date dark-skinned people. Somebody else may prefer to date light-skinned people. But the issue came in when she felt like she was superior. Because she had lighter skin. No, baby, that's not what we do.
Okay.
He may like what he like. He may want what he wants. But don't pit yourself against another woman because of your skin
color. Because of your skin color. Yeah, and then I also, this whole superiority thingy because of skin color, I just think it's played out and it's whack. Because while I think I am absolutely gorgeous, I ain't no Ryan Destiny.
Oh, baby,
this is beautiful. Okay, and not like
dead gorgeous.
You know, I ain't got nothing on her, and I can admit that. You know, she's absolutely beautiful, and
that just did not sit well
just
with.
Because you like skin, don't put you no superiority over her.
That didn't sit well with my spirit because you're basically trying to make yourself appeal better because you're light skinned. Because this man has been pillow talking and feeding you this false sense of hope that you're better because of your skin complexion. And that is not the case.
Girl, it ain't. So I just. Overall, we should just focus more on personality than skin color. Because Black is Black. You know, I have always known that I wanted to be with somebody Black and have Black kids and have a beautiful Black unit. I'm going to say I didn't care if they were light skin, dark skin, mocha skin. But of course, I do have like a what I find attractive kind of thing. But I've kind of, you know, dated all around the spectrum. So it's not like I was just like stuck to this one thing. It just, you know what? As long as they was Black.
They was Black, they was cute, and had something for themselves.
Yeah. All of that. But I'm just saying, like, I wanted, like, you know, in my big book of dreams when I was little, I wanted a strong Black family.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that from, like, really young because, of course, my parents were divorced, and I didn't want that for whatever child that I was going to bring into the world. I wanted them to have a two-parent Black household where, like, you know, we sit and we have dinner at the dinner table, like the Cosbys. And, like, I just wanted a Black family. And clearly, the Cosby Show was a big influence on me, you know. Yeah. Even though, you know, my boy Bill, but, you know, I don't think we should discount what he did for the community.
For the culture.
Because he gave us a very solid family foundation that is Black people. And then he gave us a show about Black people going to college.
College, yes.
Eight people want to go to school and want to go to HBCUs. I, of course, went to a PWI, but I got a scholarship. So, you know, woo! I guess, you know, the Lord is like, girl, you should have went to an HBCU.
If you could have gone to an HBCU, which
I mean, I could have. I just, honestly, all my friends were going to Alabama. Alabama gave me a scholarship. So I was like, cool, let's go. And it was what it was. I didn't have anything against HBCUs because, you know, I go to Alabama State stuff. Like, I went to Alabama State. I've been to Howard stuff, you know.
But which HBCU of your preference would you have attended?
I probably would have went to Tuskegee. My preference. And here's why. Because for one, you know, I used to go to Tuskegee stuff anyway. So I liked their kind of like, I liked the family aspect of it, but it was close enough to home to where I could get home if I needed to, but it was also close enough to, you know, that other side, because Auburn is right there and then Montgomery is right there. But I think I probably would have went to Tuskegee. I mean, if I would have, you know, been a stalker walker, I would have chose Howard. But we all know why I would have chose Howard. So I don't think I have a real justification of saying I would want to go there other than I was trying to follow a man. I feel like I immediately regretted that statement when I said it, and it is what it is. I would like for my kid to go to an HBCU, though, moving past that.
Okay, yeah.
Her father will want her to go to Howard because that is his alma mater. Cool. Let's move on.
You on VP time today, ain't it?
VP? are you speaking of my sorority sister who is now the vice president?
Yes, I am.
Of the United States of America.
Graduate of Howard University.
Oh, yes, she was. I want to say she was Alpha Chapter 1982. Why do I know that off the top of my head? Because I've done my research.
I was about to say, you had better did your research.
Because again, I love Black people. But I'm not really sure if it was 1982 or not. I just pulled that number off the top of my head. Let's see.
I was about to say fact check. I was about to say, do I need to do the Jeopardy music?
Oh, wait, I know how to find it.
Thought it was in the '80s.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think so.
Why you just didn't ask Siri?
I don't even know. Oh, it's 86. 86. I don't even know. It's because I pulled up our Founders Day program. Because our Founders Day program, like her line sisters did like a dedication to her. It was really cute. It was real cool. But that's what I pulled up because I opted to go straight to AKA 1908 instead of Google because, haha, I can do that. So, wow, that was so unnecessary. Sorry. I'm just in my bag today.
Okay, Vanity.
Wow. Shout out to Vanity. Follow 11, Theta Sigma, you know. If you Google Beetlejuice pants, aka that's us, you know, we YouTube famous. No lie. Everybody love TS. I'm just saying.
Beetlejuice pants.
Yeah, so Onyx, which was, it used to be like this student thing that we did at UA or whatever. The step tees went viral because, you know, I wasn't on the step team, but my live sisters were absolutely amazing. And so it was just a, like a grade A step. Like it was just beautifully choreographed and like, they had on these like black and white leggings for like the aesthetics thing going on. It was just real nice. It was a vibe and it went viral.
I have to go look it up.
Yeah, I'll send you the link. I'm sure I can find it.
We'll recreate.
Oh, will you?
I'm talking shit. Mm. I do need to do a dance.
Are you supposed to do, are you going to do your challenge?
No, not that type of dance. I'm not doing the busted challenge. I'll start an OnlyFans and do a busted challenge, but you're going to pay me.
Girl, let's just talk about, and I know we real off topic, OnlyFans make so much money.
Yes.
If I had the confidence and I could create a whole new identity and it can never be leaked back to me.
Right.
I would definitely start an OnlyFans. But because I cannot start a whole new identity where it won't be leaked back to me. And because of my profession, I just don't, like, I can't have stuff like that out. So I have to use my professional integrity and follow my code of ethics. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, be a girl on a salary, honey.
Well, we'll keep it PG. We'll find some pole classes, but we ain't gonna record no video. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, we ain't gonna record it, but you know.
I gotta do something. This creative energy got, it has to go somewhere.
Okay, creative energy.
Ooh. Striptease. A dance routine, not actually stripping.
Right, because we keep it PG-13 over here, and we are very good people.
Yup.
Yeah, I think it's time to go. I think that this was, you know, really informative, and I gave you guys some book work. But for real, y'all need to read the Willie Lynch letters because it is real informative. If you like really trying to improve and see like where your biases are for our community and stuff like that, and to see if any of this has been ingrained in you, because I think like in maybe the first sentence of the book or something like that, he was like, if you do these things that we can keep them enslaved or under our power for like 300 plus years, and look at us now, we are still here, just like boggled down by all of our own things that have been ingrained in us and biases and stuff like that. And it really ain't got to be like that, because you know, black is black, in my opinion. So yeah. I hope you enjoyed my rant today. I will try not to do it again. Who knows? Sometimes I get like really passionate about things and I can go for days. Ask Ray.
Yep.
I can go for days. So I'm going to cut this short before this is like our first 5-hour session and none of y'all listen to it, because I can go for a day. So yeah, you know, again, we appreciate y'all's support. Follow us on Pandora, follow us on Apple Music, follow us on
Google. We're on Google Podcasts.
Google Podcasts. Follow us everywhere, you know.
Spotify too.
Follow us on Instagram also, because
Instagram
information It's SOULSISTERSPODCASTLLC. Ah, and that would be Soul Sisters Podcast LLC. Ah,
we're on YouTube too, so subscribe.
Yeah, follow us on YouTube. if you want to add us on Facebook, we're on there too. But you know, Facebook, I have a love hate relationship with Facebook.
Yeah, man.
Good. Facebook makes it so hard for me. But moving on, you know, just follow us. We love y'all. We thank y'all. By the way, Jaleesa won the t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. So sorry. I got my waist beads.
Ooh. Ooh. And who got your waist beads for you?
Jaleesa.
Oh, Jaleesa made your waist beads.
Oh, yes.
Come up, girl. I know. Shout out to my girl, Lisa. So Jaleesa won the shirt also. And we've already informed her. I guess we forgot to inform y'all.
Yes.
But, you know, again, like I said last time, we are really working on consistency. And we appreciate y'all for rocking with us. You know, 2020 was, you know, full of lemonade. Because when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. Because I wouldn't even say it was trash. Because, you know, I had some big blessings in 2020. But I also had some losses. So, I had some major losses, but anyway, moving past that because I'm going another rant. Anyway, we appreciate you for your support and your love and your care.
Yes.
Beautiful people. And, you know, I'm Candace and that's
Ray.
And you guys have a wonderful day.
So corny.
I like that one.